Welcome to Explore Talks. This podcast is hosted by Explore Life Science, part of Source Group International. This show is dedicated to showcasing success stories of exceptional careers and personal journeys in and around the life science space. My name is Rebecca Lord-Fletcher.
My name is Olivier Kerkhove, and we are your hosts today.
Today we kick off our second series of Women Who Lead. And I would just like to start by saying thank you to our guests from Series 1, such powerful stories and journeys shared across the 8 episodes.
Our guest today is Suzanne Abdulwahed. She's program lead at Merck in Germany. And Suzanne's going to be sharing her story, focusing on career changes, as well as influence and persuasion as a female leader across regulatory affairs. Welcome, Suzanne, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Olivier, and thank you very much for having me.
So, Suzanne, if we could start by talking a bit about yourself. Can you tell us a bit more about your background and what you're currently doing?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a pharmacist. I studied pharmacy here in Germany, and it was at the very early stage during my study, I decided to go into the development area to be part of the pharmaceutical companies rather than to start the very traditional career as a pharmacist within a pharmacy in Germany. And this is where it started actually in 2005. I started at Abbott at that time, which is now AbbVie, within the international regulatory affairs. It was one of those areas where everybody told me, are you crazy? You want to go into this environment of working, which is very admin, operational. It's really far beyond the pharmaceutical aspects that actually were the passion of really studying pharmacy. And but it was the right thing that I have done. And since then, I joined multiple companies throughout my career pathway until I started at Merck back in 2007, April 2007, as a global regulatory affairs manager. And the career change for me started back in first of Jan 2020 as a program lead for one of the biggest digital transformation projects within Merck.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. So if you just zoom in a little bit on the regulatory affairs side, you already mentioned it's a very particular environment. So can you tell us a bit more about the life of a regulatory professional?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a regulatory professional with passion. I love this area and field within the pharmaceutical development, right? If you are lucky and you are taking care of a program which is really starting from the scratch, during the discovery, you as the regulatory lead are the one who is really usually starting to build up the strategy on the program. What way are we going to take, who to consider as your main stakeholders within the organization? You have other main stakeholders outside of the organization as well that you need to take with you along the journey that you are going from discovery until getting the product or the program onto the market. It's a very regulated environment. So you need to be always finding the balance between the right way, looking into being or acting as the regulatory officer, right? Dealing with all the regulations, especially when you are working, not only focusing on a specific region, but really taking care of the program within the EU and within international countries. It's so varying, it's so diverse, it's so dynamic, actually. You need to have a very good understanding of the needs of your stakeholders. Mm-hmm. You are in a kind like a service provider, but you need to be on top of it in terms of identifying a clear strategy to guide the organization into the right way. So for me, regulatory within the pharmaceutical environment is really much more than only looking into legal documents, into very regulated environment. It's really being, I would say, like a chameleon somehow. You know, you need to put different glasses with whomever you are discussing. You need to look into the perspective of commercial people, supply chain, manufacturing, finance, and then you have the people from clinical, from drug safety. So it's really a multi cooperative way of working, and that's why it is much more than looking into the admin or the operational part of getting a product from day zero, right, from the discovery aspects until it is approved and getting at the end of the day to your main stakeholder, who is usually the patient, right? This is the ultimate focus that a regulator should have to get on the market the product set up in the right way, meaning a product which is really feeding into the local requirements, into the international requirements, until it's getting to the patient itself.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So taking you back to your recent career change, the program lead role back in January, very interesting role and something different, obviously, to your previous experience. Could you tell us a bit more about that position and why you chose to make the move?
Yeah, sure. I mean, maybe I start from the second question, why I really took the decision to start the career change, right? I mean, looking into it from another perspective, that after a couple of years of experience, I think everyone comes to a point where you ask yourself, where do I see myself in the future, right? Do I want to continue this journey as it is right now, or is there anything else that I would see as critical for me to continue being part in the organization you're working with energy, with enthusiasm, and with power, and really being collaborative in a way to identify the right value for yourself. So it started back in 2018, where I thought there should something happen in my career, which is bringing me to the next level, and not only looking into the reg affairs lenses, right? Our working environment is changing dramatically in the last years. The way how it started when I started my career, it's completely different than the way how we are working right now. Looking into the digital transformation, I mean, this wording is really, you can hear it everywhere. It's not only on the pharmaceutical companies. And I would say that within the pharmaceutical area, within those organizations, even the digital transformation is really getting right now into the speed. So it's not that we are at the level where I would say we are the front runners, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, keeping it for myself and thinking about what do I want to reach next? What are the values that I want really to focus on and to consider? It was key to enable me to make the decision. There is something that needs to be changed for me. And I was actually really happy when the request came over, do you want to take over this role? It was, sometimes you have a battle with yourself, right? You need to get away from your comfort zone. I mean, I'm since 16 years within regulatory affairs. I'm sorry for that. And I know some aspects by heart, right? So it's usually difficult to leave the comfort zone, to think out of the box, to start something where you have not been so familiar with. And this challenge, actually, and this new aspect, this was the key point for me to say, okay, girl, we just take it and start this new role, right? And start this new challenge. And in terms of my current role, it is actually being the program lead for a project which is driven out of global regulatory affairs operations, meaning to really transform the collaboration, the way of working within global regulatory affairs, and even outside, which is also including entire research and development. This is the key focus of the project, to enable a transformation, a digital transformation within the organization, to enable streamlined processes to be more effective, to be really more streamlined and lean in the way how we are working at the end of the day, and to look into it from an end-to-end perspective. I think that, you know, it's not only dedicated to the pharmaceutical companies, but I think in many other bigger organizations, there are usually silos happening. Mm-hmm. I would say like island solutions. Each function, even within a department, has its own solution for everything, right? And everyone is working with bypass processes due to the fact that systems are not talking to each other, that functions are not able to collaborate effectively with each other. And the beauty of this project is, and this program, is it is not really looking into it from a specific part. It's looking into it from a more holistic view, right? How we as an organization can be more collaborative in the way how we are working. And at the end of the day, to get to the aspects and to the decisions that we want to take in a more faster and more efficient way.
It's a really, really interesting project, and congratulations for that. But as we discussed in the preparation as well, I think you have clearly been selected for it. You've been identified as a high potential for the company. And a lot of people, and I've spoken to a lot of people about this, will ask themselves that particular question. Why is it not me? Why do I never get these opportunities? Mm. Why do you think they chose you instead of somebody else? Mm.
I think, it's always a way, what can you really bring into the organization? And what I want to say with this is to be sustainable in the impact that you are bringing into the organization, to be really honest with the way how you're working, and to find the right balance between the passion, how to do things, and the sustainability, how to do your specific tasks. And you can see that I have repeated now twice the word how. I think in many, many times, many people only focus on what needs to be done. They want to get things done in time, even prior to time, right? But they are forgetting about how to get things done. And I think the how is really very, very important. Being sustainable means that you are doing things in a proper way, in time, and having other stakeholders, or having the buy-in of other stakeholders. This is key and this is important. And due to the fact that our environment is really changing in a very fast way, that there is huge competition, there is a huge aspect of to get things through and to get things done, we are forgetting about how to get things done. And this is really the difference that I have seen throughout my career pathway, that for some line managers, the how is not really important. But for having a sustainable impact within your team, within your function, it's absolutely needed. We need to consider that we are always working in a corporate environment, right? We are not really working on a very local basis. I think that we need to consider there are multiple personalities we are working with. They are very diverse. It's not only looking into it that we are working with, it's normal. You would never react or act in the same way when you have multiple people you are considering as your stakeholders, right? As your peers, your collaboration partners. You need to adapt somehow. And one of the key aspects is, besides being sustainable, focusing on what really matters, and not only for you, but for your team and for the organization. How are you able to brand what you are doing in a good way? I think the ability to change, I mentioned it during our preparation call, right? Sometimes we forget about change. The change is a positive aspect that we need to consider in our life. We are changing throughout the entire life, right? And everybody is taking this aspect as natural. No one is questioning, why do I need to change schools? Why do I need to change countries if needed, right? People are doing this. But when it comes to the career, when it comes to the a job that you are doing, when you are doing something over the last 10 years, you are always asking yourself, why should I change? Mm. And being able to change and adapt somehow in a good way and bringing your unique aspect into it, and this is the sustainability into, and really the resilience to do it, right? To be in a way assertive in really what you're doing and how you're doing this. I would say, how we say in German, this is the dot on the I, right? This is actually what's really making the difference. I mean, this is my personal opinion on that. And besides that, I think that I have done a good job the last years. So, but besides that, really to be sustainable, to have a sustainable impact within the organization, and to be passionate about what you're doing in a good balance. I'm not saying to be more emotional and to explode whenever it's not really going the right way that you want. But I think those are the most important aspects that you need to consider, and so that the people can remember you to be memorable in what you have done, right? I mean, there is a difference when you have a stakeholder maybe referring to what you have said in a good way. For example, Suzanne advised us to do that way and it went well, right? We have the good experience to work with this person. I think this is really the value behind.
Okay, and if we go back to the topic of our show, which is also Women Who Lead, this is a global project. You're being a lead in a global project with undoubtedly some elements which are not practically ideal, late night calls if you're speaking to international, etc., etc. Why do you think as a woman, you are perfectly set up to do this job correctly? And maybe as a follow-up question, how in your own way, how would you influence and persuade people who need to go through that change in those kinds of projects?
Yeah, I think to answer your question, it's not that easy, because I always think it from that way. We as women, we are fine the way we are. I think many women believe that in case they are taking the responsibility or acting as a program lead, and I can tell you, the 90% of my team are men, 90% of the, really. Sometimes women are trying to change their behaviors to get away from a more woman-like behavior. They are trying really to get the behaviors of a man in terms of being so focused, wants to get things done and forgetting about what are their skills that they are bringing in, right? As I said before, I think we as women, it's always, we are perceived as either being so emotional in what we are doing, or we are perceived as, in case we want to be very focused, goal focused, to get things done, then many peers are getting, are perceiving us as, it is getting into a man's world, which is not really feeding into ourselves as women. I think to be sustainable and to have a bit of resilience in what you are doing, women may have the right balance in what they are doing things, to to keep the energy and to keep the enthusiasm and to keep the balance between the emotion and focus driven is actually key. We have seen it. I mean, look, even in the political situation, we have women who are leading, and the question is always, are they able to lead in the same manner as men can do? We need to think about it from our perspective as women, not to think, what are the men going to say, how we are dealing with this? At the beginning, sure, I have two children. I have my daughters. They are my world, right? To find the right balance between the family aspect and the career aspect, I think I personally do not really think that this question should only be raised to women, because men could also have the same situation, right? The question is always coming to women who are in these leader positions. How are you able to make the balance between family and your job? It is a matter of what I want to do with my life, what I want to do with my career, how do I see myself in the next years? And if I'm clear, and this is again coming to the values that I have mentioned before, if I'm clear about the values, what do I want to achieve in my career? I think no one can really argue if it is working or not. But if I do not really have the courage to be myself, to be a woman in the way how I'm dealing with a team, with a very diverse team, with a very international team, with different cultural backgrounds. And when I'm saying cultural backgrounds, we have team members who are really working in countries which are still very traditional, right? And to get them to a way to really perceive me as the program lead, acting in the right way, I think at the beginning it was, I would not say a challenge, but it was really that I wanted to convince them. And as long as this is happening throughout the way, there is something which is wrong, you need to really to try to clarify the aspects at the very beginning to convince. Okay, I think every program lead need to convince the team members of what they're doing. And I think nevertheless, we as women have really the strength to be emotional, to be very focused, oriented on what we want to do, and to find the right balance really to act in a proper way and incorporate business area. And in this program, the very specific or aspect into this program, I'm also working with two implementation partners. And all of the project managers on the program are men, right? So it is usually like this that we are perceiving maybe the weakness of women and looking into those aspects, but those emotional parts are key elements to really to drive the team into the right direction. And I think a family should not be really perceived as a limitation factor. It can give you the strength. It can really be the your perfect time management aspect, because there are some time slots within my diary that I'm dedicating for my family, I'm dedicating for my daughters. And it took us a while as a team to understand the different behaviors and the different needs within for each and any team member, especially looking into it working from a completely virtual aspect right now, right? We have not met as a team since the start of COVID-19, since March. And it's really working, I would say, in an excellent way, really. It is, they have understood I'm there when they need me. You know, in case any talks, any escalations, or any project management aspects that needs to be covered, I'm available. But I also have to respect that each of us, and this is not only limited. related to my person as a woman, there are some time slots within the day that are dedicated for the family or for any other aspects. You may have a pet, you may have elderly people you are taking off. So I think really we as women need to understand that we are able to deliver. We are able to really be very good leaders if we allow ourselves to remain woman and not to take over the man's behavior only to survive within a man-dominated environment, I would say.
Thank you. That's really interesting. So you've mentioned obviously just recently a few challenges. Thinking about your current project now, what is the biggest project you biggest challenge that you've had to deal with, and how have you kind of overcome it?
For the current program, I would say it was the COVID-19 situation, frankly speaking. So it was not really dedicated to my personal journey. And the second aspect is the change journey within the organization. Mm-hmm. How to keep the people buying in and support you within such a transformational change journey, and not to lose them throughout the way. I think those two aspects are really the major challenges that we have, that I have faced within the program. And in terms of COVID-19, I mean, it's an entire situation which is affecting the entire world, right? It's not only dedicated to the program or to the organization we are belonging to. At the beginning, it was really very difficult to get the team acting as one team. We were not able to come together to have any team buildings face to face. It's something different, right? To build up the personal sphere and the personal level of the collaboration, rather than only to meet, virtually, right, on a daily basis. The second aspect really to guide and to support the business to evolve throughout the change journey. This is a challenge which is really following us throughout the way. So the entire last 10 months that we have been dealing with the program, it was usually on the very top level. Whatever we were doing, we were really looking into having the support of the business on the program, and how we are able to support the business to understand the why behind the change journey, and really what needs to be done in terms of supporting them to be on board with us. And it sounds like that this is the usual challenge that we may face on within each organization. But whenever you are driving such digital transformation projects, which are not only looking into the substitution of one IT system from one IT system to another, but you want to have also the change in the mindset of the people, it is so important and key that you have the main drivers, and the main drivers are the ones who are at the end of the day going to apply to the to this change, to apply to the processes that you have set up, right? To collaborate together in a new way, and really to overcome those bias of, I have done this the last 20 years like this, so why is this change needed for me? You know, what is the benefit? What is in there for me? And to make them to understand this is what I have seen, and this was also in you development for me, to look at from the other perspective. Until I would say the 31st of December 2019, I was looking usually into it from an end user perspective, right, as a rec affairs professional. But starting January 2020, I needed to look into it from another lenses. I needed to look into it from the one who wants to drive this change, and what needs to be done to get the buy-in of the business. And to keep this balance, it's really tough. And this is challenging me on a day-to-day basis. It's never ending, I would say, and it would also not really end when the program is implemented. So the reinforcement phase is even much more important than what we are doing currently on the program itself.
Okay, great, thank you. So just a final question, and this is kind of one for our listeners. What would be the key advice you have to give to many talented young professionals and talented female professionals who are eager to take up similar projects as yourself?
First, just understand what you want to achieve, what you want within your career. To really think about it, to be honest in the way you are thinking about it. It is, I think it's not only about the salary you are getting or if you're getting a company car or whatever. You really need to think about your career pathway. What are the skills that I'm bringing into the organization, and what can the organization give me to support me into getting into the right way of career level? And if you have this very transparent and honest discussion with yourself, because it is absolutely needed that you are defining the values, the skills for yourself before being able to get in touch with your line manager or your talent acquisition within the organization or whomever. Because if you don't know the clear vision of what you want to do, no one else is going to support you. You need to have a clear vision of your journey within a company or even outside the respective company. But as long as you do not really know this, no one else is able to help you. And the second point is really to think out of the box. And this is, it's not only a slogan. You need to have the courage to change yourself to enable a change coming in. No one in the meantime can wait until something is coming in. And because it's me, right? You need to make the difference. You need to be unique in what you are doing. Otherwise, you are going really to be lost on the way. So I think those, for me at the end, it was very helpful to really define the next steps, where I am, really to make, it's a very hard task, because you need to be very transparent with yourself. You need to sit down, you need to think about where I am, what are the skills that I have gained? And when I'm talking about skills, it's not only in looking into the hard skills, you need also to look into your soft skills. And the soft skills are really very important and critical to get your vision, what you want to achieve next. And then to think about, okay, this is what I have achieved until now. What is next? What needs to come as the next step within my change journey? And if you are clear on that, I think that everyone is really able to be bright as a star within what you are doing, and to have, again, and to put the sustainable impact on what you are doing, I think, and to focus on what really matters for you. This is very important. Each individual, to be unique in what you're doing, you need to focus on what is important for me, what is in there for me. And I think to go throughout this journey is not that easy. And I can tell you, prior to this program, I was really looking into it from completely different lenses. And this program helped me also to understand that change journey can't not happen via switch. It will not happen within one day. It will take time. And this time is absolutely needed to identify the right for you, actually.
But anyway, thank you, Suzanne. Hey, that's I think it's you have a really, really unique story, and it's very, very powerful. And I think it's a really strong message to give out to everyone who's listening, that it is all about how you see yourself and what you want to take out of it. And not just on the surface stuff, which is also important, don't get me wrong, but I think it's the why and the how, which I really, really like about your story. So I think, you know, that's our last question for today. I hope our listeners enjoyed it as much as we did.
And of course, we will share Suzanne's LinkedIn details, so please do connect with her. Now, we are on the lookout for more guests to feature in our podcast series. So if you're interested in sharing your life sciences personal journey with the Women Who Lead team, please reach out to us and let us know. I'm Rebecca Lord-Fletcher.
And I'm Olivier Kerkhove, and you've been listening to Women Who Lead, part two, part of Explore Talks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.